It's time for the Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Hafman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Hafman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Okay. Fun along the way. We're going to have fun along the way.
We're trying to have fun. Okay, we have some terrible Packer stuff to talk about. We are opening the phone lines wide open tonight. We did as little show prep as possible to give callers opportunities to air their feelings. Let's make this be an hour-long therapy session, and let's get our feelings out. We'll get into that. Before we do, we have to bring our producer, Evan, on the show. Evan, you, my friend, need to be here for this because Ben wanted to say something to you. I already said it to you in person, but Ben, go ahead.
All I know is I heard that some guy should have talked to me on Thursday last week. What were you doing? You should have talked to me, man. I would have told you. Think about this a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. Congratulations, dude, for getting married.
Oh, man. I thought
Friday.
I was in deep trouble, you know? Because
How did our boy do?
How did he do? He did great.
Aaron was fine. He gave us some extra Star Wars, some bonus Star Wars.
I like it. I like,
he had some issues that weren't his fault.
I know that game. But hey, thank you guys so much.
I've been there too, right, Evan? I've been there too. But yeah. Evan got married last week. That's why he couldn't produce the show. Now, Evan, you get married, you get a fart gun salute, my friend.
Let's go.
Honorary. That's right. That's how much you getting married means to us.
Oh, man, that's so sweet.
We spend generous airtime of Hafman Bros airtime with a fart gun salute to Evan. Evan, congratulations, bro, on getting married. I should have timed that better. Congratulations on getting married. Is this thing working? Is this thing on?
Got to change the batteries.
Oh, it still works. Okay. Whoa, hey, ho.
Congratulations, Evan.
Extra ones on the end.
All right. Wait a minute. We should probably just do a whole show about that. But anyway, Evan, congratulations. Ben, that's awesome. What are we doing here? What do you got?
Oh, I was just saying that it's a weird show because you do fart gun salutes for good things, but the fart gun salutes kind of remind me of how the Packers played last night. So it's like a weird dichotomy of good and bad all mixed in together. It's like the yin and the yang with fart gun mixed in there.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what we do, man. It's how we roll. But anyway, in all seriousness, if you know our show, you know that the fart gun salute is an honorary thing. It's an honor, and we just gave Evan that honor because congratulations to him and his new partner in life, committing to each other. We appreciate that. Congratulations, you guys. Best of luck. And let the good times roll, right? You're young and in love, let the good times roll. All right, so the Packers are not letting us have a good time this season. Ben, there are many, many reasons for that. Holy cow, Lee's in the house. How you doing, Lee? Says his battery went out on his fart gun in that game. Oh, sorry, Lee. Sorry, man. Look, it was a rough game. But this was the time, Ben. I was so excited because we went through this weird stretch, right? Because last time we did a show, between last show and this show, the Packers played two games. They played two games. And we were like, oh my gosh, they could win both these games. And the tone of last week's show to the tone of this week's show, look how dramatically different it could be. And instead, we went roller coaster riding for that 1 week. And we went way up here. And then we went way down here last night. And now it's kind of like, we're not totally dead, but we're kind of dying for the season. That's kind of
You were way too convinced that we were going to have a happy show this week with two victories in a row. I'm pretty sure you cursed them. It was all you.
Oh,
it was all you. And then you tricked me into thinking they were going to win 31-7. Cause I thought they would do what a normal coach would have his players do, which is, you know, like play tight man coverage on the outside, bump the receivers so they're not getting easy releases, jam up the middle so you stop Derrick Henry. All those, like the jam in the middle stop Derrick Henry worked, but they forgot to like even cover the receivers half the night, if not most of the night. And so that was the issue. And then an offense, there's too many things to talk about there as well.
You're right. I mean, the offense definitely let the Packers down. The defense was again, it was an inconsistent performance, which is what we've seen all season long. But I don't think it was necessarily on the players too much. It's like you said, the defensive approach didn't make sense. It's like you're playing Ryan Tannehill, and I know you like Ryan Tannehill, and he's very good. He's a very efficient quarterback. He makes good decisions. He's pretty accurate. Like, he's a good player. Okay, I'm giving him that. But I'm not threatened by their wide receiver speed. So when it's third and three and you're playing 7-8 yards off and as a corner, and your first reaction is to move backwards and you just give them the 4 or 5 yard out route right in front of you for a first down over and over again. Like, what is that? What is that? I don't get it.
It's really dumb. That's what it is. I mean, I can't even, our next show, I'm going to put a video together for our Wednesday show this week coming up. And I'm going to show Packer coverage against the Titans. And then I'm going to show the Titans covering the Packer receivers on the All-22. And just the difference between how it looks like when nobody's open and how guys are wide open constantly. And realize it's not easy on the offense for the Packers. And it's too easy on the opponents in offenses based on what they're doing and what they're deciding the coaches are making them do. And if I was the players, I can remember a few years ago when the Vikings played the Packers, and this obviously actually didn't work, so maybe I shouldn't bring it up, but Mike Zimmer told his defensive backs to play zone and to not worry, like just do a certain thing or whatever it was. And the defensive backs did something really different where they decided to just cover Jordy Nelson and double team him at the time or whatever it was. And they got schooled left and right. They tried doing like single coverage on Jordy and he beat the crap out of it. They couldn't cover him. And then, you know, Zimmer was all mad and whatever. But maybe there needs to be a mutiny. Maybe these guys need to be like, I don't know what's going on. Like, why are we doing this? Like, what's the deal? I don't know. But it's pretty bad.
We got some comments here. We'll throw them at you here over the air. David's in the house. David, how are you? Good to see you, my friend. He says he's all out of adjectives to describe this team. We are too, David. Luck of the Eckes in the house says, hey, boys, Joe Barry needs a pink slip. He doesn't mean our dad. He means Joe Barry, I believe. Needs a pink slip in the offseason. His concepts aren't working. A change needs to happen. Well, that's true. Those concepts that we ran last night a lot of times would never work, have never worked, and should be thrown in the trash bin long, long, long ago. But again, it's the weirdest thing to me, Ben, because it seems like when the Packers played the Giants, they played this way. When they played teams that they shouldn't be threatened by the deep pass, that's when they played soft. I just don't get it. I mean, I know the Titans hit a deeper one early in the game, like right out of the gates, but that shouldn't make you all of a sudden be afraid. You have Jair Alexander, who you paid a crap ton of money to, right? Let him man up. Let him play people. Rasul Douglas on Treylon Burks was a great matchup. If you let him get his hands on him right away, Treylon Burks isn't running away from anybody, and Rasul is tough enough to stay with him. Like, those are obvious things to me as, I don't know, a guy who just is a fan and watches this stuff. And yes, I'm an award-winning sports journalist, but that's, you know, neither here nor there. In this case, I see those things, and to me, that would make sense. I'd say, let's man up. Rasul, you take this kid all game long. And, you know, don't worry. The other 9 guys can worry about tackling Derrick Henry if he runs in the middle, even though, you know, I would have just took my 2 outside corners, manned them up, and done something different with the other 9 guys, played the right matchups, and not been scared of getting beat deep, because that's the way they played, and that's what gets you kicked in the butt, because they were doing a good job on Henry. Think about from the defensive perspective. I know a lot of people are hard on the defense last night, but from the defensive perspective, you're stopping this big freight train running back, right? You're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. And then on third down, you play so soft that you give up first downs. And then you got to go right back and try to stop him again. It's just deflating. And you got to think really brought those guys down and ended up costing them on some of those longer sustained drives. Because look, we did our job first and second down. Let's just not play a dumb defense on third down and we probably get off the field. Sorry, I went a little long there, but I had to get that out. See, tonight's about getting these things out, getting the feelings out. That's where we're at.
Well, I've got a beef.
Okay.
Whenever you want to do the beef. How much time we got?
We'll do it. We'll let Evan cue it up here. We got some time. We got 3 minutes. You want to hold it till next segment, or you got it?
No, it won't be that long.
All right, play it, Evan. Beef time for Ben. Almost.
Oh, we don't have the beef.
Oh, no, no. Who's got the beef? And what's for dinner, do you think?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think it's going
to
be...
I got a beef to pick with you.
There we go.
You want some beef or what?
Yo, what's your beef?
All right, here's my beef. This is my beef. I've been hearing this phrase now for like a month and a half to 2 months. I've been hearing how the Packers, they just don't play complimentary football. That's what I keep hearing. Complimentary football. What the crap is complimentary football? I know they explain it. They say, well, when the defense gets stops, then the offense doesn't make plays. And then when the offense makes plays, the defense can't get stops. So it's not complimentary. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. How about if you just don't suck? How about if you just freaking play man coverage and tight and don't let guys get easy releases off the line of scrimmage? You know, you make them adjust their route and you mess up stuff. How about you do that? How about if you call plays and routes and that are combinations to get guys open instead of running on third and three guys 20 yards downfield for some unknown stupid reason, and then Aaron Jones just sneaks out for a -3-yard pass, who Rodgers, of course, throws to, and then there's a linebacker looking at him and then knows it, and as soon as Rodgers starts throwing it, he takes off, and Aaron Jones makes a miss, of course, but then there's all of a sudden seven more guys there to tackle him. How about... I don't know if on first and 10, we don't throw a freaking 40-yard bomb and then make it have to be second and 10. Because guess what? We suck at long distances. How about if you just stop sucking? No more complimentary. Complimentary is nothing. Just play better. That's the answer. It's not, we got to play complimentary football. No, just stop sucking. Period. There's no complimentary football. I'm sick of hearing it. Done.
It sounds like you also can't take it. We'll be back on the other side of the break. It's Hafeman Packer Outright Opinions. Call into the show, 844-967-2789. Be back in two. Ben, what's the title of this song?
Oh, all this and I can't remember.
It's got me wrong, dude. Got me wrong. This is now the Packers theme song. All these people that were predicted to be the Super Bowl at the beginning of the season all this sort of stuff. That's why this song is. That's why I did not. And maybe that's why I still believe, because I never believed they were going to be a Super Bowl team. But I did believe they would be one of the top seven teams in the NFC at the end of the season. I still believe that. I still think they have a way to do it. Look, we're going to get to
some... Well, I think you're insane then.
Come on, man. Come on.
You are insane, period.
Look, I know they got the Eagles next, but the last six games, you know, most of them are winnable. Most of them are winnable. And I still think 9-8 gets you in the playoffs. I think 10-7 definitely gets you in, and 9-8, I think, gets you in the seventh seed.
The problem is they've lost to all the teams that are just above them in the standings. So they have to, like the Giants and Washington, like these teams, even if they have the same record as them and they're already two games behind in some places, how are they going to possibly catch them? Because they have to beat them by three games. They have to win three games more than those guys in some places to get to that seventh seed. Matter of fact, Washington is the eighth team right now.
I don't see it. But there's a bunch of those teams got to play each other down the stretch. They're going to knock each other off. It's going to be the same sort of thing. And if the Packers just win some games, they could sneak right in there. It could be just like 2013. Hey, somebody who remembers 2013 is Raider Rick. He's on the line. He's here to bring some of his thoughts for tonight about this Packers season. Raider Rick, you there? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Oof. I don't know how I'm doing. I got beefs.
I got my own silent but deadly. You know, I think the big for me after this week, it's just, yeah, it's so frustrating. There's so many things that just do not make sense about this team. Personnel decisions, coaching decisions, defensive schemes, offensive schemes. And ultimately, I think it comes back to the front office. I don't know who in the front office is making these calls, but, you know, some of the blame goes on Rodgers, sure. Some of it goes on LaFleur. But, you know, I really feel like the front office just pulled LaFleur's legs out from underneath him early on. They made it clear that, you know, their guy was the quarterback. This team was built around number 12, and it lost LaFleur's any power that he had with the team. I don't think things are going to change until the front office, whether that's Murphy, Goody, whoever, executives, give that balance of power back to the coaches, whether it's LaFleur, whether it's a new coach, whoever, and put them in charge. They're the ones in charge of the team, and that's going to be impossible as long as number 12 is still there. He's a huge presence. He's casting a huge shadow. That's not going to change as long as he's there, whether it's changing over for next season, whether it's letting him play out his contract. I don't expect there's going to be any changes as long as he's there. I'm not saying he's the whole problem, but I just don't think they're going to get a clean slate and a fresh start and turn that page until that presence is gone. So my beef is front office giving the players more power than the coach, and my silent but deadly force that's killing the Packers from the inside is the front office taking that power away from the coaches. That's my two cents. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Raider Rick. Appreciate that. Hey, I was going to say, I think the shadow of the football thrown to Sammy Watkins was closer to him than the actual football last night on that one pass. And secondly,
dude,
look, Mark, if you're Mark Murphy, Ben, right, you're pretty old. You're probably eyeing retirement right now. Just kind of keep things going a little bit, rake in a few more million bucks on your way out the door. And, you know, that's probably where he's at. I mean, Gutekunst, he's got stuff to figure out. But
I know everybody's calling for Goody's head and LaFleur, and I'm actually questioning LaFleur himself at this point. But the bottom line is this. When you hold a position in the NFL that's a head coach or a general manager, how often do you watch those guys get canned left and right all over the league? All the time.
Yeah.
You think these guys are a little bit worried about losing their jobs? What happens if Jordan Love, if they decided, you know, see a Rodgers and then Jordan Love stinks and the team stinks and everybody stinks? They won't get any grace period at that point because Goody handpicked Jordan Love. So they were forced in the offseason to make a choice. And Rodgers wanted to come back, apparently not wanting to be traded. And they were like, okay, he just came off two MVPs. Let's give him some dough. Then we're good to go, right? Like, he can't be that bad. This team can't be that terrible. And we'll still have jobs for a couple more years. And if you have a couple more good seasons, right, making the playoffs, that only builds you more, you know, equity into the future when Rodgers does retire. And it gives you a little bit more wiggle room when they do have to blow it all up. That's what they were thinking. I don't blame them. It was a desperation move to hang on to what you've got. The problem is it was the wrong move, and we talked about that in January, that it was the wrong move. We've been saying it forever. But that's not the point. The point is, what do they do now? That's the real question. And I want to hear answers from that. Does anybody out there want to call in? Jace, give them the number. What is the answer to fixing the problem? Because the biggest problem is Rodgers. Is it to hang on to him and try to keep building and working with the team we have? We have some young guys who are ready to go and step up. They're doing it every week, but it's not going to be this year. Maybe next year they'll be ready to go and Rodgers will be on top of his game. I don't know. Or do we just be like, Rodgers, sorry, dude, we got to get you out of here. I don't know.
Well, you and I have talked about this before in other formats and on the YouTube channel saying, hey, and you pointed it out very plainly for people. Gutekunst had a plan and was drafting players to fit Matt LaFleur's offensive system. Then they overhauled the offense and incorporated, made this meshing of the Rodgers plays and the LaFleur system. And now you have half of two plans moving forward and no full plan moving forward. And the two plans don't mesh and the players don't fit here and they don't fit there. So that's a big part of the issue. As you've plainly told people.
Defense has no plan.
And the defense
has zero plan.
And the defense...
It's special teams.
Yeah. And the defense is not giving their guys a chance. I mean, if you get beat, you get beat. I'd rather go down swinging than sit there and let them take it from you right in front. All right, we got long break coming up. We got more callers, and we got some Matt LaFleur sound after this. Something's gotta turn out. All right, we quiz Ben again. Ben, what's the title of this song? It's Grind. Don't you get all of these freaking songs match the Packers season?
I can't
season?
Remember. How's the chorus go again?
I don't know. I can't sing, but don't ask me to sing it.
Something, something.
Kevin, you're muted. We couldn't hear you, man. I don't know what's up. Here. What do you got?
No, that's okay. It's probably better. I was swearing. I was saying stuff FCC okay, wouldn't like at all.
So might see the wall grind or something like that.
Oh,
right? I can't
gosh.
Remember.
The Packers
season. I can't remember
season,
how it goes.
The football season is normally a grind, but this season has been even a much harder one. First of all, we got the Packers wrong. Now we got a grind, and now we got a Bruce in the house. I believe he's back on the line, right? Ekis wants to get the special teams. Lee has an incredible observation from the game. Before that, Bruce from Minnesota, formerly from Wisconsin, first time on the show. Bruce, how are you, sir?
I am good. How are you guys doing?
What do you mean you're
terrible?
Good?
What do you mean?
What the hell's wrong with you?
I'm not good, Bruce. Okay? Yeah, I'm frustrated. I'm upset. I'm annoyed.
What else you got? What I mean, come on. Ben says I'm crazy for thinking there's still hope in this season. What you're the ultimate pessimist. You're the anti-Ekis. What do you got for us? Surprise me.
I got to be honest. I don't have a whole lot of hope the rest of the season. I know that we're technically not out of it, but this team's not showing me anything that makes me believe that things are gonna turn around. I mean, yeah, we had a decent game against Dallas, but you still have the same issues. You know, you have inconsistency with the offense. At times you have inconsistency with the defense at times, and they don't complement each other at all. So at last night was a perfect example. You know, I mean, you have the offense that stalls, you know, three train outs in a row. You have the defense that gives up three drives in a row of points. You can't do that. And when it happens, you know, I mean, you can just kind of sit there and say, pretty much say nothing, and you know, and know that they're not gonna win games and not gonna you know, move forward here this season. That's just my opinion. So, but
well, Bruce, even though you live in the sad state of Minnesota, actually it's not a bad state. Well done on your election, by the way. But anyway, even though you live over in Minnesota, you are being heard right now in the Madison area, also in Amory, northwestern Wisconsin, on Lake Air, 1260 AM, and also 92.7 FM, 1580 AM here in the Madison area and South Central Wisconsin. Bruce joining us for the first time here on Packer Outright Opinions. Bruce, look, man, this is, like you said, the thing seems to be every time one side or the other makes a kind of a swing in momentum and starts to get something going and you need an answer from the other side of the team, you know, whether it's defense or offense, they just don't come through. And that's been the story of the season for the most part.
Yeah, agreed. And to be honest with you, I think at this point in time, you really got to look at Barry at the end of the season here on defense and decide what you're going to do with him, because, you know, in my opinion, he's a zone guy. We have man corners and, you know, he plays soft.
That's a good point.
And plays soft man, and then he plays zone a lot of the times. And to be honest with you, maybe Rasul Douglas is one of the only corners that could play zone fairly decently. As we know, he's able to anticipate and things like that. But, you know, Jair is not a zone corner. I mean, we know that. Stokes is not a zone corner. You know, it's just, and I don't know what Savage is as far as the safety, but
We're going to get into him in a second.
Yeah, ultimately, it's just, I mean, you really got to look at that, and I think you got to get rid of Barry, and you got to look at some options there, and then you got to start drafting, you know, some guys that are a little bit more physical. And that's another thing, you know, defense isn't physical. They're very, very much athletic. You know, Goot drafts Raz scores, as we all know, and it's about athletics, you know, athleticism with the guys, and they're not physical, and they, you know, they can't tackle well, and I think that's part of the reason. So
that's a great point, Bruce. And the you can't see more of a stark difference in physicality from a defensive perspective than when you look at the Packers defense versus the Titans defense, or versus the Jets defense, or versus the Giants defense, or even Washington for that matter, the way those teams attacked. Bruce, we got some sound from Matt LaFleur, so thanks for calling in. We appreciate you, man. Stay well, be well. Don't give up. I still have hope. I still have hope on this season. 9-8. 9-8, Bruce. Count it.
Great show, guys.
All right, yeah, Matt LaFleur, Ben. I told you. So Matt LaFleur, I thought he was mad. I thought he was mad after the game yesterday. I thought Aaron Rodgers looked sad or depressed. But
yeah,
today, Matt LaFleur put some specificity to some of the issues on the defensive end. And Evan, if you got him ready to go, let's hear what Matt LaFleur had to say today after reviewing the game film.
The thing that's disappointing is just the bus. When you have guys that don't play their responsibility, and you get guys running free, and that happened on a couple of those, really on three of the big explosive plays that they had.
Okay. The busts, he didn't like that. That happened on those plays. Matt LaFleur had a little more to say. What else did he say, Evan?
The third down, we should have had a safety back there. Instead, we're cutting a short route, which should not happen. So it puts Keyshawn in a very tough position. They ran a two-man stack, and we had two guys on, we call it a 7-7, a deep, basically a pylon route. We had two guys on the pylon, and Robert Woods is wide open, and that's like a 30-some yard gain. And then we cut the stomp route when they're backed up. The inside fade to their tight end there, and another 30-yard gain or whatever it was. So it's just those are critical errors that obviously explosive plays typically lead to points.
One more from Matt LaFleur, and then we'll talk a little about it.
I want to say they scored on every one of those drives. So, it was extremely disappointing to have those coverage busts and to give up those explosion plays when those are preventable.
That gives me hope. Those are preventable. They were busts. And Ben, Matt LaFleur didn't say any names, but he did say a safety. We're supposed to have a safety back there. He said,
that doesn't mean,
yeah, jumped. Yeah, and I know some of the jargon you might not all of us understand, but he said we jumped the one route. Well, there was the one safety, number 26, who jumped that route and left things wide open behind him. He's putting publicly out there about Darnell Savage without naming him by name.
I don't know. I mean, I have to watch the film back again. I think on the play he was talking about, I don't know what happened, but we all know Savage stinks. That's not the problem.
It is
at least
the problem.
He's got answers. At least he has answers today. The thing that bothers me is when you ask him what the problem is, and he's like, "Well, if I knew that, well, then we wouldn't be losing or whatever." And then you're like, "Okay, well, then you shouldn't be the coach because you don't know nothing." But still, it's not like it's week two or the preseason; it's freaking week 11. And I know you had some guys moving around because of the Eric Stokes injury, and you wanted to keep Savage on the field for some dumb reason.
We don't know why,
but it doesn't matter. These guys have been playing for years. It's been 2 years in the same system. This stuff has been happening. It's. You know how you fix the problem when there's guys who are missing their assignments and not doing what the right thing is? Just play freaking man then. Make it a simple assignment. You got this guy. You got this guy. You got this guy. Instead of trying to pass it off all the time or try to jump the route or do dumb stuff and I understand it. Rudy Ford jumped the route twice last week, got picks. Awesome. Rasul Douglas
was playing at the line of scrimmage. He noticed that there was a play action fake and he jumped back, ran all the way back, picked off the ball last night. It was awesome.
Great,
it was a great,
great play.
Super smart play. So maybe whoever he's talking about jumped the route, was trying to make a play. Sometimes you're going to be wrong when you try to make a play. And that's going to happen. But you know what else can help is if you stop the route from the start. If when Tannehill gets the ball and he looks to see where the guy's supposed to be and he's not there because we bumped him on the line of scrimmage and we got the timing off, then he might freak out or he'll get off that and go to the next one. And guess what? That guy might have gotten bumped and then that timing's off. And then he goes to the next one and then that one's off. And then guess what? Act. But instead, we just sit back and let these receivers do whatever they want. And then, so that as soon as he gets the ball, he looks, oh, that guy's open. Sweet. Boom. First down. It was 3rd and 9, and he threw a freaking 10-yard out route, and he was wide open. Oh, wow. Great job.
Mm. Hey,
it's not just the miscommunications in the wrong spots. It's the dumb play calls on defense.
Right. Well,
just dumb.
Then this gives me back to this, because Bruce said it. Barry maybe needs to go. Eckes commented. But after the season? Why wait till after the season? Now, you are at playoff time now. You are still not eliminated. Do you think if someone else took the reins and completely played a different attacking style of defense, there could still be hope that this defense could turn into what we want it to be and thought it could be?
You know what I think they should do? I think they should let Joe Barry go. This guy that he just signed that got canned by the Lions, who's his buddy, just let him call the defense. Who cares?
Right?
It can't be any worse.
It'll shake things up. You get the attention of everybody, right? If your defensive coordinator's cut right now, and I mean, do it.
You also have to make it clear what he wants. Like if he's been saying this for years, that's how Mike Pettine got gone, right? Is because of the soft zone. Oh, I don't know why we're playing off. I don't know why we're playing off. Well, you're the head coach. You should know why you're playing off. It's your job. It's on the line. You should be demanding that they're not doing this. Now, if you don't have the players to do it, then say, guess what? Our guys are better in a zone. That's a way of saying, guess what? Our guys suck at man press coverage. But tell us that. And then that's the reason. And then we won't, as fans, be like, why are they so far off? Why don't they keep giving this up? Oh, it's because they suck and they don't know what they're doing. Okay, well then do something different. And as the head coach, tell your defensive coordinator what you want. That way there's no issue. He's got to figure this out. He's got to take the bull by the horns and be like, dude, that's enough. Let's go.
Now, they've made some personnel decisions, but Darnell Savage is still a huge liability on the defense. Yeah. I looked up some stuff. I know we've talked about Savage, but not everybody knows this stuff, Ben. Here is a striking statistic for you, for Darnell Savage. All right? I'm going to tell you some guys here on the team. Kenny Clark, does he make a lot of plays, Ben? Does he make a lot of tackles?
For the amount of money he makes, no.
Okay, Kenny Clark has played 549 defensive snaps so far this season. That's just in contrast, I want you to compare. Right now, he's got 41 tackles on the year from a D-tackle spot. All right? Jaron Reed, another defensive tackle, guy that gets paid way less money and is not as sought after or thought about. He has under 500, he has 479 snaps a season. Jaron Reed has 37 tackles. Darnell Savage has played 678 snaps, way more snaps than either of those guys. Plus, he's a safety who's normally unblocked and should be able to get in on almost any tackle that he wants. He has 41 tackles this season.
How many missed tackles? 41?
Only three because... Only three because he never gets close enough to tackle guys because he's not aggressive and doesn't go after him.
That's smart. So, I mean, he won't have that many missed tackles if he does not even
You have a defensive tackle who plays way less snaps with almost as many tackles. You have a defensive tackle who plays about 100 less snaps but plays a little more than the other guy who has almost as many tackles. Actually, the same amount. The exact same amount. Kenny Clark and Darnell Savage have the exact same amount of tackles, Ben, in this season. That is a problem. Safeties need to tackle and need to come up and show run support, and they don't. By the way, I know Rasul was not as aggressive last night, but so far on this season, Rasul Douglas has 51 tackles from a corner spot, just in comparison. We got to get to another break.
I'd rather see pass breakups.
Hey, I'd rather see our safeties tackle some dudes. We'll be back. Packer Outright Opinions. Big show. Last segment coming up.
Where's the
deep? He's at home! Washing his tights!
Splish splash, I was taking a bath. Long about a Saturday night. Yeah! A rub dub, just relaxing in the tub.
All right, everybody. Look, I'm done with all this now. I'm done with all the negativity about the Packers. We're moving on to happier stuff. We had the final little segment of the show. We are limited time. We got fart gun salutes. We've also got to talk about a little bit of exciting stuff. Number one, there's one Packer I'm kind of excited about. I'll give him an oh yeah, maybe I'd give him all kinds of stuff. It's Quay Walker, Ben. Quay Walker is currently 11th or tied for 8th in the NFL in tackles. Got 82 tackles on the season. He missed a little bit of time with concussion in one game and stuff like that. But overall, that kid's flying around making plays. And last night, he just stuck his body into big Derrick Henry. He did whatever he had to do. I thought he was one of the guys that actually played last night and looked like he wanted to play hard.
Yeah. And Chris Barnes with that awesome hit to stop him on the fourth down to get the ball back or whatever it was, third down. I can't remember exactly. But yeah, I thought all three of the linebackers played great last night.
Oh, yeah.
Just the secondary sucked.
Kingsley Enagbare showing up. I mean, there's a lot of players on this team to still be excited about. Christian Watson, we got some excitement here. But that being said, if this season really does die, if it really is down the tubes, then we might have to start looking at the team in Wisconsin who actually maybe you should be hopeful for that they could win a championship. The best team in Wisconsin. And that's the Milwaukee Bucks. And the reason why we play Splish Splash is because two nights ago, Brook Lopez was 7 of 9 from downtown, 10 for 13 from the field, Ben, for 29 points. Bro Lowe was lighting him up from deep. And what did I tell you? My favorite play in basketball, and not even my favorite play, but the play that gets me most excited, is if Brolo splashing threes. So I watched the highlights on that, and I was jumping out of my chair just watching highlights because that's my man Brolo, 7-footer, 280-pound dude, standing 24, 26, 27 feet away from the basket, and nothing but net.
Oh, yeah.
Brolo, better than James Harden. He was 2 years ago when I told Vinny and everybody that. He's still a better basketball player than James Harden. Take that. Get behind your Bucks, people. Right now, they're playing the Cavaliers tonight, playing in Philly, but they beat the Celtics behind Brook Lopez. It's 29 points, 113-98 the other night. They were plus 22 with Brolo on the court, Ben. Just a heads up. Mm.
That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Giannis took a little bit of a backseat that night because Brook was, you know, lighting him up. I mean, why not? So he only had 16. He had 16 points. 12 rebounds. Brooke was splashing him. Bobby Portis only 10. Another guy I really like who's playing a lot right now is Javon Carter. That guy is a really good player for them. Really good guard. He's smart, makes the right play, can make shots. He's active defensively. So our show, what I'm getting at is if the Packers go down the tubes here, it might go from the poo show to the boo show. Bucks outright opinions. Just a thought. And if we do go boo show, I got a little sneaky suspicion that a certain state representative might join us to talk some Bucks because she's one of the biggest Bucks fans in the state. So anyway, you know, Fran, you're always welcome on the poo show or the boo show, just a heads up. And we'll talk Bucks if you ever come on. Anyway, Ben, what do you think of that? Brook Lopez, bro, low 29 points on 13 shots.
I don't understand your fascination with Brook Lopez. I'm sorry.
He's great. Come on.
Bobby Portis is more my kind of guy. I'm a hard. I like the guys who run around, do crazy stuff, and get the crazy eye, and get all tough, and smack people. And that's the guy I like better. Sorry, I'm a Bobby Portis guy.
All right, fine. Well, can we also acknowledge that the Bucks have just a lot of really cool guys to root for on their team, and they're a great team together. So, and they don't have a bunch of their players right now. I know the Celtics took over as the best record in the league currently, and but the Bucks haven't had Chris Middleton. Holiday's been out. Like, some of the stuff, they got a short rotation because they got some of these dudes playing in. They got some rest going for Giannis and things like that. So, hey, they're doing just fine. They're doing just fine. I got to believe they got a good shot at making it 2 championships in 3 seasons here this season, but we'll see. Anyway, we're going to get behind our Milwaukee Bucks. One thing we also have to get behind is we have a special fart gun salute for tonight. Ben, would you like to explain to people what today and tonight is?
When I was in first grade, for some unknown reason, a girl was brought into our lives, and she was spoiled rotten and never had to do anything ever. She never had to do any chores. She got whatever she wanted all the time. She's dad's favorite, by the way, just a heads up, just in case anybody wanted to know. But I will say this. Our little sister, Sarah, is, 29 again. And or 39 again. One of those.
She's 39 again. Yeah,
30. Something like that. Whatever. Okay, I know she's actually not any of those things, but she's one of the most happy, laughing, easygoing, kind of wacky, crazy sometimes, but also like just a fun person to be around. And if anybody deserves a fart gun, it's our sister Sarah Kerbal. Happy birthday to you.
Now, Sarah definitely deserves another 39 fart gun salute. So we can't do the, like on mom's birthday, we actually did on our YouTube show. Evan, you'll enjoy this. On mom's 70th birthday, during the course of our YouTube show, we did 70 fart gun salutes. Because our show was actually.
That's impressive.
It was impressive. And a lot of people thought we couldn't pull it off. But the thing is, we just kept talking long enough.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we did a full 7-0 fart gun salutes during one show because the show was on mom's birthday. So some of our shows are landing on relatives. Like if our show lands on your birthday, we're giving you the salute.
Ooh, buddy, you heard it here.
That's right. So send in your birthday wishes. Tell us when your birthdays are. Let Evan know at the station, and we'll give you a salute over the air. I mean, come on. We might even get a sponsor for fart gun salutes. Sponsor for birthday fart gun salutes on the Hafen Brothers Packer Outright Opinion Show. Now, there's no game this week anymore because we're already done, so we're not going to talk about the next game yet. We'll get into that next week because we'll have that game will have not been played and we'll be on the air again. But Ben, I still believe, man. You got 1 minute to tell. Well, you got about 30 seconds to tell people why I'm wrong, or have I convinced you yet? There's still hope.
No, you're crazy. Listen, I do not want to. I don't like this team. I don't like watching this team. Okay, there are individual players I like on the team. Okay, but the total play of everybody, it just doesn't gel. It's not for me. I don't know what they're doing. I cannot get behind them. The coaches don't do the right thing. The players are doing crazy stuff. Rodgers is throwing like garbage. Offensive line can't block anybody. There's no consistency at all.
All right. Well,
so there's no reason to believe. None.
Somehow, I still do. We'll catch you next week on Pooh.
A little tick.